Hello and welcome to The Two Tones. You can hear the smiles in our voices already. I'm Tony Moclair, and joining me as always, Tony DeBolfo.
Oh, happy day, Tony. Wasn't it magnificent?
Crikey. This is episode 24, round 20. As always, we'll check in with great players of that particular number. You cannot go past, and what a game he had in a certain preliminary final in 1999. Doggy!
The old Dog Brown, Fraser Brown. What a player he was, Tony. And I had the great pleasure of speaking to Dog Brown about that game, and he still articulates with wonderment that victory against all odds on the day that Brax nutted Jeff Kennett.
Yes, the, it was an incredible day.
But I remember him saying about that tackle on Dean Wallace that he actually knew he'd seen Dean Wallace veer to the right previously to evade a tackle. And he said, when Wallace took possession of the ball, he said, I knew which way he was going to go. And I mean, that is magnificent foresight, isn't it? And great thinking from the Dog, who, you know, I can remember so often, Tone, through the 90s when we were flying, and, you know, you'd be out celebrating with the players in Carlton Town, Tone, it was on a Saturday night. And you'd be standing there just, you know, raising a glass, and all of a sudden you'd cop a fist to the kidneys, and without having to turn around, you knew who it was. That was Fraser's formal greeting.
Yes,
he was a man's man. He loved the club. He still loves the club.
Still does. Yeah.
And what a player he was, Tone. Do I relate that story also? Grand Final week '95.
Yeah.
When he had. I can't
remember. He was in the chamber, wasn't he?
He was in the chamber. You know, he had an injury and. Yeah. And they put him in there at the Alfred for the better part of the week.
Yeah.
And I remember the Herald Sun sent me down there to cover the story. And in the chamber there was a porthole.
Yeah.
And I remember looking through the porthole.
It's about 10 inches of glass,
isn't it?
Yeah, it
was. Yeah. Looking into the porthole and seeing Fraser's visage through the glass. And he happened to be seated next to this fellow. And he was looking at me and motioning with his fingers to his head that this bloke is off his conkers.
Oh.
And I remember thinking to myself, well, if anyone would know, it would be you, Fraser.
Exactly.
He was a wild man. What a player he was, and premiership player, of course. And,
there is, of course, another premiership player in wearing that storied number, Tony.
Well, the great Jeff Southee, the record holder in the Goons, Tony, 268 games for Carlton. Fabulous player he was.
Yeah.
Interestingly, there's another player that played only two games in it, a fellow named Des Lyons, who was recruited to the club from Leeton. And only recently when I was speaking to a gentleman who came back...
Was that Leeton in New South Wales?
Yes, from the Riverina, they got him down. Barrel-chested fellow he was, Des Lyons. And I was speaking recently to a former player, Bob Crowe, a contemporary. And I asked him, you know, the best player in his time, and he said, well, Nichols was. He said, but there was another fellow, had he decided to hang around and not return homesick to the bush, would probably have been Carlton's best ever player, and that was Des Lyons.
Wow.
He had a great reputation back in the bush, and I think he took all before him when he went back. I had a conversation with Des about 3 years ago, and he actually lamented the fact that he did go back. He still wonders what might have been had he... You know, decided to stay, but he felt for the sake of his family that the farm was the priority, and he went home.
Big farming community up there, obviously, and it's a beautiful town, Leeton.
Leeton, I've never been.
I
believe he was from there, or Burrellan, which was I think Yvonne Goolagong country, was it not? I think Burrellan was where she
was her birthday this week.
Oh,
just quietly.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Now, Tone, on to more. Well, not the discussions about Jeff Southee or Fraser Brown are not enjoyable. What is far more enjoyable, I will contend, however, is the dissection of a Carlton victory, a rare thing in season 2018. But this one seemed to me to be of an altogether different nature than the win over Essendon. I'll just give you the score. Gold Coast, 5-14. They were very inaccurate, let's be honest. I put that down to pressure. 44 to Carlton, 12-7. Accuracy pays off in the end, doesn't it, Tone? 79, 35-point win to the Blues at Metricon Stadium. I want to mention two things. Number one, the number of Carlton supporters at the ground was absolutely magnificent, including my brother Pete, his partner Jen and his son Dan.
Good on them.
Love that work. And I missed a lot of the game. I saw pretty much the second half going to the Grandview, where I bumped into Watto and his lovely wife, Christine. They're on their date night. So where else do you take the missus but to the Grandview to watch the footy?
Oh, I'm sure it would have been a romantic candlelit dinner over a parma.
Well, they got to see a win, which was magnificent.
Well, that's even better, isn't it? But I admire your brother's effort.
Yeah.
Making the trek up there. He obviously had it locked away for a little while. Yes. He picked a good one.
Yeah, there were some extracurricular activities, but he managed to squeeze in a visit to the footy, as he does, because he loves the Baggers. And what a night.
Tone,
give us your thoughts, please.
Look, it was... It was a phenomenal performance. And, you know, you spelt out Tone in your introduction, Gold Coast and accuracy. It is interesting that both teams had 19 shots each. But I'll tell you this, Carlton really should have had this game done and dusted at half time.
Yeah.
They had 1,000 entries into the forward 50
in
the second quarter, just could not hit a target. But the signs were promising, and look, there's a few little moments in the game. Well, there are a lot of really great moments in the game that are worth recording, and I wanted to share them with you, Tony, in chronological order, because I think, you know, they were important to the overall result. But right on halftime, just a little bit before, Jack Silvani put in this deft little centred kick to Lachie O'Brien. Did you see that? Beautifully weighted kick that set up that goal. And I think just on half time, that was important, given that the team had been bombarding that forward 50 without result for the best part of 20 minutes. And then, right on the stroke of half time, Harry McKay took off on that run on the far wing and slotted that. Dribble kick that actually went through. He's beaten by the bell. But those little moments, you know, I mean, you looked at that I sat there and I said, wow,
yeah.
You know, what these young players are capable of. And I just think that Carlton would have gone in at half time with a real degree of confidence. It was palpable in the players as they walked off the ground. And then the floodgates opened.
Yeah.
It was seventh goal, third quarter, I think. And I made a note that, you know, that great running goal and thread in the third of Paddy Dow.
Yes.
There was a big tackle of Polson's on Harbrow, which, it really made an impact on me. A little guy that really put his body on the line was great to see. And, of course, Jakob Vietti.
What a great game, where he did his knee.
How
about that, you know, running backwards?
Running backwards into the
May.
Marauding Stephen May.
Yeah.
I just thought there were instances in the game where we saw, as the coach pointed out, the future of Carlton on show. But to be fair, all of them, to a man, were complimented by experience. And you know, you take your hat off to Murphy, to Ed Curno, all these players that really, really stood up when we needed it. And I think, you know, that was a terrific collective effort. Look, it is 17th versus 18th after all, so we have to put things in perspective. But, I mean, I thought it was very important for the club that they broke through before season's end.
Yeah.
Just, you know, supporters have been craving for a victory. You know, they only see it in wins and losses, and I understand that. So to get one on the board, you know, at this stage of the season, I think was terribly important, because it's been a long time coming, and who knows where this team will head from here. You know, maybe we'll look back as a pivotal moment in time. I don't know. But the signs were magnificent that in Carlton there are young players to take this team and this club forward. And not before time either, Tone, I say.
Well, let's just mention a couple of others. You mentioned Paddy Dow, last kick of the game. He did an interview with our producer, Lucy, after the game. He is a very impressive kid.
Very impressive and popular too. Popular.
I'm not surprised.
You know, popular amongst his players, popular in the wider football community. A lovely kid. And, gee whiz, Soss knew what he was doing when he called Paddy Dow's name.
Oh.
I mean, he is exciting, you know, and just to see his movements, you know, through heavy traffic, and you know, to actually you know, compliment Cripps, who's had a stellar season. We all know that. And Petrovsky Seaton,
yes,
you know, and,
great
and
game.
It has to be said.
Yep.
Now, and I mentioned last week that Cripps aside, Petrovsky Seaton is in fact the last man standing to have played every game of this season. And again, you know, you recall that moment in the third, that glorious thread through to Charlie Curnow on the lead. That was just sublime. And look, there's a lot to like. About this too.
And because it's a win that keeps giving. How was Lobb's performance?
Another thing. Lobb, you know, to take centre contest and the follow-up work was absolutely superb. And aren't we fortunate, you know, that, you know, in Cruz's absence and Phillips gone for the season, that we've got a ready-made ruckman like Lobb to fill the breach. And, that's a great call, Tony. He was impressive in the way he worked for the team. It all started the centre bounce, and he really led the way. I was impressed with him.
Look, great, it's inevitable that we won't highlight some players who deserve it. Marchbank did a couple of things that were, I thought, sublime, and you just think he bring on his next season.
Well, I agreed, and look, the team was named early in the week for round 19, and I put out a little tweet. In reference to the spine, where you had Vietering, you had Marchbank, Cripps, Curnow and Harry McKay. And I made the comment that this is the spine for round 19 and quite probably the next 10 years, I reckon.
We hope.
And it did generate a lot of interest from hopefully like-minded Carlton people who can see the framework in this team that obviously Silvani and the recruiters will build on with the draft to come. So it's terribly exciting, Tony, to see where these young players are going and to think that we've got, you know, seven or eight players who we've lost for the season that are also ready to go in the new year. So it augurs well for the team and the club.
In Paddy Dow's interview, which you can see on carltonfc.com.au, he did mention how tight the group are. Now, this is a team that's only won two games for the entire season. You might expect that there might be blamestorming, to coin a phrase, or there might be, you know, ructions or that sort of thing, but there's not. They're a tight, unified unit. You could see that at the end of the game. You could see that when they sung the club songs, the club song in the room. That bodes well, you have to say. And we have to say, you know, sure, they won, losing a swallow does not a spring make. I worked on that in the shower. So let's not get too ahead of ourselves. But
I'm only taking it one minute at a time, Tony. I don't mean
you. Not me. No. Look, there was so much to like with the younger players, and you did mention Mark Murphy. Again, those skills were just
superb.
Yeah.
You know, when he had the ball, you knew that he was going to be able to find a target, and there was that pivotal pass to Harry McKay, I think it was, on the lead, which was a beauty.
It was a beautiful kick.
And then the feed off to Jed Lamb, who slotted that one from just on 50. You know, there were some great moments there for so many players. And your point earlier, a moment ago, about, you know, the fact that despite, you know, the fact where we're seemingly anchored to the bottom, two wins for the season, how remarkably upbeat the players are. Well, look, I suspect you've got to hand it to the coach, you know, because the coach has, you know, been on record as saying it's through these adverse times that these players come out the stronger for it. And I think the players know where the collective is heading.
Yeah.
And maybe to us outsiders it wasn't immediately obvious, but I think what we saw on Saturday night was a glimpse of where it's actually going.
Yeah.
And that is truly exciting.
Yeah, it is. It is. There was a lot of exciting talent on display. Can we just, I do like picking your brain about such things, Tone. And it's remarkable for the fact that we haven't mentioned the colossus of Cripps, 37 disposals, 17 contested possessions, 6 marks, 11 tackles, 3 1-percenters, 1 goal. What you might call a typical day at the office for him. But just the hit by May on Ed Curnow, and did you see the spittle fly from Ed?
Yes.
Okay, so that gets 1 week. I get that? I'm not going to editorialise, but I just want to invite you to comment.
Yeah.
And then Charlie Curnow gets 1 week for something that seemed to me a lot more benign. So if you're Ed Curnow this year, you've seen he gets a week for touching an umpire in the same kind of period where other players have touched the umpire yet received no sanction. And then he sees May get 1 week for that hit and his brother get 1 week for as I said, a hit that seemed far more benign to me. What did you make of that?
You've probably summed it up pretty succinctly, I'd say. You know, I feel a bit for Eddie. Be trying to work out what the hell's going on with the game and the laws of the game. And interestingly, with the Charlie Curnow incident with May, I'm pretty sure that Jonathan Brown at the time, the commentator, made the call that, look, it's a head high, it's a free kick.
Yeah.
And you know, Monday night he was bemused to hear that Charlie had actually been cited. So, look, you would hope that sanity prevails.
Yes. An appeal is underway,
Is at the time of recording. So, fingers crossed, we get to see Charlie strutty stuff in the big one against GWS this week.
I'm into that because he's obviously popular with all the players who turned up. Sorry, the supporters who turned up at Metricon. A great effort, you've got to say, by the Carlton faithful, and they were duly rewarded. Tone, after a hiding, it's a terrible onerous duty to come up with the 1, 2, 3 votes.
Well, it is.
It's equally as difficult, I would imagine, after a win like that on Saturday night.
Very true, Tony. But look, I gave it my best shot and I went with the skipper. I went Mark Murphy, one vote. I thought, you know, his experience around the packs, you know, his use of the ball, his ability to weigh up the situation, his leadership, I thought really contributed immensely to the result. All power to Murph. Been a tough year for him also with injury and whatever, but he's came back as a captain should, and good luck to him. Two votes, player of the future, Paddy Dow. We've spoken about him. And, you know, I think players like Dow O'Brien, Petrovsky Seaton are now starting to believe. They know that, you know, we can play this game. You know, they're making more impact on games with every quarter, and
he
just love watching him play.
I'm getting a lot of value out of the short interview that I saw with him. He mentioned too that the confidence that he's engendered in the older players, that those younger players like Lockie O'Brien and Dow and SBS and, you know, let's say Zach Fisher, if he was playing, have proved to the older group that they do have skills, that they can be trusted with the ball in a tight contest.
Yes.
And that is only a good thing as well.
Oh, it's so true. You know, I felt for Fisher. You know, I would have loved to have seen Zach there to experience that victory after what he's done this year. And he's been really one of the positives of 2018, no doubt. Three votes, Tone. Well, he re-signed with the club this week. What a week it was for him. And, you know, that was a great call, Patrick Cripps, to recommit to the Carlton Football Club, because he knows where we're going, Tony. And I mean, it's Patrick Cripps and daylight, I'm pretty sure, for our medal this year. What a year, what a game, what a player.
Oh, comment is superfluous, Tone. He's just magnificent. Now, I'm not sure if you've seen the Sir Swamp thing. Are you across this? He exists on the Twitter sphere.
Look, you please take me through it, Tone. Sir Swamp thing. He likes throwing, you know, stats off centre into the mix, doesn't he?
And
we glean a lot for Sir Swamp Thing. In fact, Sir Swamp Thing, probably we need to get in contact with Sir Swamp Thing, because we like the cut of his jib, don't we, Tone?
Well, we do, because he's pointed out that the AFL coaches votes for 2018 have by a country mile Patrick Cripps doing extremely well over the likes of Nat Fyfe, Max Gawn and Tom Mitchell, if you don't mind.
Well, look, it's an interesting stat, isn't it? And I don't know what you read into it in terms of Brownlow Medal favouritism or otherwise, but, you know, look, the coaches are considered, you know, the best judges, aren't they? And, and I mean, that's staggering to see how often Cripps is featured in their voting. I look at that, Tony, and you know, I like to think great minds think alike, because he's featured quite often in my voting, Tony, during the year. But no, look, it is great. How will he fare in the Brownlow? Well, look, you know, we've only you know, featured in two wins for the season, but the numbers don't lie, do they? And I mean, he's a big guy. He has a presence about him. He's going to be hard not to be noticed. And on sheer volume, you would have to think he's going to attract votes. So it'll be very, very interesting to see how he fares when they count for Charlie in 2018.
There's three other points about the game that we have to discuss, and they are, and I'm just going to reel them off and I want to get your thoughts on them. The fact that there were 10 individual goal scorers on Saturday night, that's one. The return of Kieran Byrne, that's number two. And number three, what, and if we can string one or two wins together between now and the end of the season, what message that sends to the league at large about where Carlton are tracking and its ability to attack, to attract, you know, players that might be interstate, quality players that, that want to come home to Victoria, for example?
Three great questions, Tony. I'll answer them in chronological order, if I may. In respect of question one, 10 goal kickers. I was offended there wasn't 11. No, it's great, a great sign. The fact that the workload was shared, there was no, you know, unhealthy reliance on any one player, it says to me that these are players that are working for each other.
Yeah.
And that it's starting to click, that the collective is starting to really gel together, and that's exciting. Question two.
Kieran Byrne Kieran just slots Byrne, right back in, if you don't mind.
Well, he hadn't played since the previous encounter with Gold Coast, where we were absolutely pants pulled, if memory serves. Yeah. It was a horrific display early in the season. He picked up from where he left off, and I mean, the capacity to give Carlton that run off half back, you know, he's back in the team. You put Doherty on the other flank and look out. Like, it's truly exciting. And
he was actually mentioned by Bolts in the press conference. Yes. Kieran Byrne was.
Yes. Well, look, he's an important player for Carlton, and I just hope that, you know, the body holds up for him, because if he can string a few together, I think he becomes a very important player in the Carlton machine. And in respect of your third question, it's a fair point you raise. You know, we're talking earlier about, you know, four games left, whatever it is, what's there left to achieve? Well, there's plenty to achieve for the players that are playing for their careers, a la Jed Lamb. But for the club to send a message to those players they may be courting, you know, it's palpable that they see, well, yeah, this is a team on the make, that the team with every game is making real inroads, you know. And the general view here, Tone, with the group that we've got, is that when the improvement starts to happen, the improvement will come, you know, in dramatic fashion.
Yep.
That it won't be a steady improvement. It'll there'll be a spike.
Yep.
And that's, we don't know, you know, when exactly that's going to happen. Hopefully sooner rather than later. But I think, you know, addressing your point, that if it can be displayed that, you know, in these last few games that the team is really starting to emerge, and there seems to be this real unity of purpose amongst all and sundry at the football club, that Carlton suddenly becomes a more attractive destination club, that is what we all want. And let's face it, in the heyday of the Carlton Football Club, Carlton was a destination club. Everyone was banging down the door to play here. Hasn't happened for a long time, but, you know, there's real daylight now, and let's hope that it goes to script in these last few games, because it's a vital period for Carlton, you know, leading into the draft, the trade period, and the 2019 season proper.
Now, just on to some other housekeeping, Tone. Paddy Dow's been nominated for Goal of the Year for his solo third quarter goal.
Well, what a goal that was.
Yeah.
I mean, that was, you know, I was sitting at home watching it, Tone, and it was out of the chair stuff. I loved that goal, you know, and, we, you know, I think what was great, Paddy Dow's got this great capacity to weigh up a situation pretty quickly, and I think he in taking possession of the ball, he looked around him and probably figured, well, I can break free here, and I think it was Holman actually that was on his hammer, for memory, but he thought, yeah, now I've got you covered, you know, put in the afterburners, and then threaded on the run, you know, and it was. I think he showed his real class there, because how often do you see a player under the pressure of an opponent on his hammer spray the kick?
Yep.
Yet he was methodical, and that was never going to miss. And
there hasn't been too many of them this year, those kind of, you know, streaming into
and
kicked with that sort of authority.
Well, that's right. And we have to remind ourselves that this kid's in his first year of senior footy.
Yeah.
He's played 14, 15 games probably. And he's already doing that, you know. So he's a special player, and you know, I just, Melinda Silvani, that it was a great call to pick Paddy Dow's name, and I'm just rapt that he's at Carlton.
We have a new favourite here at the Two Tones. Now, can we just point out, too, that it was something of a red letter week for the Carlton Football Club. There were three wins, a very convincing one in the VFL, the women's one, and the women's team one, I should say, and the seniors, the AFL team.
Three wins, Tony, at who's counting?
Thank you. Who's next? Who cares?
I detected a little bit of that old arrogance returning as you uttered those words. Sadly, it's been bereft from your timbre all year. But it's a great acknowledgement, isn't it? That says that, you know, the would suggest that the message is getting through, the players are responding, the feeling around the place is good. It's quite exciting just to see where things are going. And let's be honest, you know, we're supporters. The players aren't oblivious to it. The coaches aren't. Yep. All we've had all year is each other. Yep. Carlton supporters have turned to each other, for support, because we feel like we've been, kicked around the head.
Yeah.
By those, with different agendas outside. So isn't it great just to, the importance of that win for the soul, just for sustenance, for emotional enrichment. It wasn't a great thing, to wake up, on Sunday morning.
It gives a different complexion to the week, as I'm sure any Carlton supporter will tell you.
Very true.
Now, Tone, Carlton face GWS, Greater Western Sydney, at Etihad Stadium on Sunday at 1:10.
Wow, what a great challenge that is.
Yes.
GWS, a team that seems to be emerging, having itself experienced a pretty difficult year, but maybe, they say timing's everything. It may well be that the GWS players are getting their act together when it matters most. So
yeah,
it's going to be an awesome challenge for Mark Murphy and his players when they take to the field this week. But that's all right. It's great to confront these challenges, I'm sure our players will go in with a real confidence to back up the performance at Metricon Stadium on Saturday night. And, looking forward to seeing the players in action. Let's just hope Charlie Curnow could make the cut.
Indeed.
We need him out there.
And we know that Bolts are certainly not going to let Saturday night's victory get to the players' head. It was mentioned many times that the training over the week was especially not hard, but just smart.
Smart, and I think training was quite crisp. There was an opportunity to get away, which I think was a good thing, heading up to the coast. And the players, I think, stayed over for a day to unwind, and that was a good thing, just get out of the bubble. I have every reason to suspect that they return with a truly positive mindset and look forward with great anticipation to the Giants.
Well, we need to get on down there, support the club, especially after that great win. We're hoping there'll be a lot of Carlton faithful there on Sunday at 1:10.
I might mention too, Tone, seeing as we're on the case with GWS, that Jed Lamb, former GWS player, had an opportunity to speak to him a day or so ago about where he's at. He's out of contract at the end of the year. So people that may think, the last few games are dead rubbers, don't be fooled, because players like Jed Lamb are fighting for their football lives. And I had a great opportunity to talk to him about the state of play, his hopes and aspirations for the future, what he's trying to achieve in this last month, I had a really good discussion with him about his early life on the farm. He was a Gippsland boy. He grew up in Poowong. Had some terrific stories to tell about his early years, and he even finished off with the football joke, Tony, which I won't divulge now. Suffice to say, I've never heard a football related joke. I don't know about you, and you're a man not averse to the odd jape and lark, but I cannot recall ever hearing a football gag.
And where do we see this, Tone?
It'll be on the Carlton website probably Thursday.
All right.
So look out for that one. And Jed Lamb, he was terrific to talk to. We had a great conversation, and I think readers will glean a lot from that interview.
All right. Well, again, we hope he's part of the emerging Carlton renaissance, which we saw
Well, and that's the arrogance in your voice that I would be waiting for 3 months.
Right. Well, we saw just some very heartwarming signs of it on Saturday night. So in that vein, we're going to sign off. Tone, thank you for that. What we're going to do, when we remember, is a song that might sum up our mood here at Carlton, certainly on the two tones. You ready for this one?
I'm ready for it, Tony.
How about I Can See Clearly Now?
Oh, well, they played that at my dear old mum's funeral.
No.
When we carry her out, so that means a lot to me, that's
no.
all.
Okay.
So thank you.
This is the two tones, Tony DeWolfo, Tony Moclair. Thank you to our producer, Lucy, who put in the hard hours, finished at 1:30 in the morning on Sunday after her duties for Carlton Media were over, and then on the early flight home.
Well played, Lucy. Exactly. 3 votes.
Yes, 3 votes indeed. So thank you, Lucy. We'll catch you next week here on the two tones.